So the passage this morning is from Matthew 28, starting at verse 16, and can be found on page 1000 in your Bibles towards the back. And the passage is named the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Thank you very much, Lois, for that reading. Please keep that Bible passage open, page 1000. As we begin our new series on the theme of unashamed. Now, that word unashamed comes from Romans. We're going to be looking at the book of Romans for the next 3 weeks after this, Romans chapter 1, as we consider our outreach as a church. But we're going to start this series with this most foundational and important of passages, the Great Commission, as Jesus, risen from the dead, sends out his church to do their work. Let me start with a verse from Romans, Romans 1, and then I'll pray. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, because it is the power of God that brings salvation, rescue to everyone who believes." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we consider these Bible passages today and in the coming weeks, please would you strengthen us as a church in our outreach to Huntingdon and the area. Please would you clarify in our minds what we are to be doing. Please would you clarify in us the message that we have to share. And please would you enthuse us and motivate us with the right motivations for sharing your good news. We pray now that as we study this final passage from Matthew's Gospel, that you would speak to us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there's a famous landmark on the screen for you. If anyone is thinking Notre Dame, you're not quite right. It's in London, and it's St. Paul's Cathedral. And some of you have heard me tell this story before, but apparently when Christopher Wren was building this magnificent piece of architecture in the 17th century, he snuck incognito into the building site. And while people were working, he dressed himself up in sort of unfamiliar clothing so that people couldn't recognize him. And he just asked some of the people on the building site what they were doing. And he asked one man, he said, "Excuse me, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm cutting a piece of stone." Okay. Then he talked to another guy who looked a bit miserable. He said, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm earning 5 shillings a day." And he went to a third man, let's suggest he's sort of picking up a barrow full of rubble or something like that. And he said, "I am helping Sir Christopher Wren to build a beautiful cathedral." Well, it's that last guy who had the big picture. He had the big vision of exactly what was going on there. Not just the little picking up rubble or cutting pieces of stone or just earning a living. He had the big vision. And that's why I think this passage from Matthew 28 is so important. It's one of the passages that come at the end of each of the Gospels. We started our service with the other one of them from Luke's Gospel. It's a key passage which tells us as God's people, the church, what we should be doing. And it gives us the big picture. And the big picture helps us in three quick ways. First of all, it transforms what's unimportant to what's important. Maybe you're involved with one of our rotors today. You're on the tech like Nathan, or you're like Jamie helping set up the chairs and things. They may feel like unimportant things, but when placed in the big picture of building the big cathedral, then they start to make some sense. They also turn us from being spectators to participants. It's easy for us to come to church on a Sunday just mentally, like going into Starbucks or McDonald's, coming to receive and be just a spectator or a recipient, a consumer. But having the big picture and the big grand vision of what God wants us to do enables us to be participants. And every one of us this morning has a place, a role to play. Also, it turns the fog into focus. If you come to church and you think, do you know, I'm not entirely sure what church is for or what we're trying to do here in Huntingdon as God's people. Well, having the big picture of God's great plan turns us from being a bit foggy-minded in our thinking to having sharpened priorities so that we can leave some things behind and decide what we do need to do. And so the big question is, what is the task of the church? What is the task of the church in general, all the churches, all the denominations around the world? And what specifically for us as Christ Church Huntingdon, a new church here in Huntingdon that's been here for 6 months, what is our task? And the answer can be summed up in two words, and that is making disciples. Look at verse 19. Therefore go and make disciples. We're going to look at this passage from Matthew 28 for a few minutes. It's one of the readings that we looked at our sunrise service last Easter Sunday. Jesus has just risen from the dead, and he's met his disciples in Galilee, and he's giving them their task before he ascends up to heaven. And they have a job to do. And if you look at the passage, you'll see that it revolves around three alls, A-L-L. Let me show them to you now. Verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth. Verse 19, go make disciples of all nations. And verse 20, I am with you. It's a little bit cheeky, but always. So let's look at these three things as we consider this passage together. And the first thing that we see is Jesus' position of all authority. Mainly in verse 18, but let's start in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, that's interesting, isn't it? Because obviously Judas is no longer with them. It's very pointed. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, exactly where Jesus had told them. Have a look at verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. So they've met him in the north part of Israel, where the ministry started out when they first met him on that fishing, by that fishing lake at the start. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain. Now, mountains are key in the book of Matthew because we've got the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' first teaching was on the mountain. And then we've got the Transfiguration, which was on a mountain. Calvary, that the hill where Jesus died, was on a mount. And here Jesus is meeting them on a mountain, perhaps a little bit like Moses meeting the people on Mount Sinai, and he's telling them something really significant. Verse 17, and I find this verse both encouraging and fascinating. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Isn't that realistic? We this morning will be full of faith and fear. We'll be full of worship and doubt. I find I have sometimes both on the same day, but I'm helped when I look at Jesus in the scriptures to worship him. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Jesus is alive from the dead. Of course they have doubts. People don't normally rise from the dead, but Jesus is there alive and can be seen and touched and talked to. So verse 18, here's our first point. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus' position of all authority. Jesus has a kingly rule over everyone and everything. Perhaps some of you moved to Huntingdon fairly recently and you were given the keys to your house. Maybe you're renting a house, or maybe you're fortunate enough to own a house. And the keys are yours, and you now, that is your place, if you like. Or maybe you've been given authority in work to be in charge of a certain area. Or perhaps you as a parent have authority over children. You've been blessed with children. Well, Jesus has been given authority by God the Father over the whole world. He's got the keys to the whole universe. It's fair to say that there's no one and nowhere on this whole planet, in this whole universe, which doesn't have the words belonging to Jesus, as it were, invisibly written on them. Jesus is the king with a position of all authority in heaven and on earth. Let's think about those two, in heaven and on earth. In heaven, because Jesus is king over even the spiritual realms. We can't see with our eyes what's going on in the spiritual realms, but Jesus is king over all forces of darkness and light. Jesus is the true King of Kings. There's no other God or force that rivals him. Now, this is where it starts to get controversial. If Jesus has been given all authority in heaven, then he is the true king over all people. And if you like, his is the true religion. Because Jesus is the true king of the universe. That means that Muhammad, Buddha, Krishna, or the other secularist ideologies of our day do not have authority over this world. They are not king. They are idols, in the words of the Bible. Now, this is controversial, and this doesn't mean that we must have a fight with our friends or neighbours from other backgrounds or other religions, but it does mean that we should have a conversation. And we should say, have you considered the evidence that Jesus is really the king over all? He's the king over heaven, and he's the king over earth. He's the rightful ruler over Hamburg, Hanoi, Hyderabad, Hunchun, Hunstanton, and Huntingdon. There is nowhere on this planet, there is no one on this planet that does not belong to him, because he is the king. And how do we know that? Because God has risen him from the dead, and he has ascended him into heaven to be the king over all. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful king that he is. He wears a crown, but it's not a crown like that nice gold one up at the top there. It's a crown of thorns, because he uses his authority not to squash others, but to serve others. Sometimes maybe in the workplace or in politics or in authority, or some of the kings of and queens of the world have used their authority to squash others, to subjugate them. Jesus comes with a crown of thorns to serve people. He's such a good king that he comes to bless them, to forgive them, to heal them, to forgive the entirety of their sins. And one day he'll return in power to smash the rulers who will continue in rebellion against him. And now he offers an amnesty. And he says to all of us, come under my rule, under my kingship, while there is time. Submit to me as the king, and you will find that I'm a king who blesses you with forgiveness and friendship and a future. It's such an encouragement, perhaps particularly if someone is struggling this morning, to know that Jesus is the king. So not such an encouragement if perhaps you're new to the Christian faith and you're looking into it for the first time. This is the reality of the universe. This is the fundamental thing that everyone on this planet needs to understand, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is the king. And that's the foundation of this great commission, and it's the most important thing this morning. Let's move on to the second thing. To Jesus' program for all nations. We look now at verse 19 and 20. What is this task that he's given us to do? Verse 19, here's the risen Jesus speaking to his church, passing the baton on to them, which they have in turn passed down to us 2,000 years later on. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, this is what you're to do. Because Jesus is king, this is our task. Because Jesus rules Huntingdon, this is what we're to do in Huntingdon. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Do you see the big focus there? Making disciples. A disciple is simply a follower. And to make disciples is to encourage people to follow Jesus. It's to help Huntingdon to come under Jesus's kingship. Jesus is the king, so we're telling people to do the most obvious thing, which is to come and follow this king. Have you heard in the internet world these days of influencers? I'm pretty new to this, but apparently if you've got a brand, then you want an influencer to sell your brand and on their blog to say, I tell you what, let's pick an example. Mary Berry's cakes, they are amazing. You've just got to go out there and get those cakes. Someone who's an influencer is telling you, you've got to get this product. This is a bit of a silly analogy, but as Christians, we are helping other people. We're influencers. We're saying to people, do you know that Jesus is the King and that we're to follow him? Have you put your trust in him? Look at Jesus. He's not a product. He's not an internet page. He's the King of Kings, but we want people to follow him. This is the primary role of the church on the planet until Jesus returns. We're to glorify God by making disciples. I've got some of you like books and like reading, others of you don't. If you're not a reader, don't worry at all. But this book I found really helpful in what the mission of the church is, by Kevin DeYoung and Greg Gilbert. This is what, in summary, if you don't like reading, we'll just read this paragraph because then you've got the whole book. But this is what these guys, American friends, say about what are we supposed to be doing as churches? Is it just about helping the poor? Yes, they talk about there's a place for that. Is it just loving our neighbour? Well, yes, that's what Jesus commanded us to do. But the big overarching summary statement could be summed up in this passage and in a paragraph like this. The mission of the church is to go into the world and make disciples by declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit and gathering these disciples into churches that they might worship the Lord and obey his commands now and in eternity to the glory of God the Father. There you go. You don't need to buy the book. It's all there. We're to make disciples. We're to help people to follow Jesus, to follow him. But how do we do that? Well, the verse gives us three other verbs that kind of flesh it out. Therefore, go and make disciples. It's an easy word to miss, but actually that's the first installment of the program, if you like. Go. We're sent by Jesus. We're not just to stay within our cozy four walls. We're to go out there. We're to get out there. We're to be sent by Jesus. We're to engage, is another way of putting it. We're to engage with people, to build relationships with them, and to be actively living out our Christian faith in our workplaces, in our neighbourhoods, in all sorts of societies and structures and groupings in the town. We're to go. We're sent by Jesus. Some people are sent overseas. And some of you are missionaries to Huntingdon from overseas. Others of us are just sent more locally. But we're to go. Next, we're to baptize. Did you see that? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples, that's the big heading. Three subpoints. Go, baptize. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When someone puts their trust in Jesus, they're to declare their faith in a public event called baptism. So we could summarize this next part as bringing people to the point where they can declare their faith in Jesus Christ. We might call that evangelism. It's a jargon word, but it's helping bring people to initial faith in Jesus Christ. Go, engage, baptize, bring people to initial public declaration of their faith in Jesus. And just by the way, if you're a follower of Jesus and you've never been baptized, well, we're planning a baptism service at some point soon, so let me know, and we'd love to get you baptized as well, so that you can declare to others your public faith as a follower, as a soldier of Jesus. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I won't go into this now, but there's a great verse there about the Trinity, how God, one name, in the name, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what's the third thing that we're to do? Well, we're to teach. And that happens very clearly and obviously in a setting like now, when I'm teaching what the Bible says. But all of us are to be involved in speaking the truth in love to one another. We looked at that in Ephesians last summer. So let's dig into that. Verse 20, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. we're not just to come to initial faith. Jesus is not saying, go and make converts. He's saying, go and make disciples. People who every area of their lives and their lifestyle is flooded with Jesus. So that in the school, in the swimming pool, in the office, in the street, in McDonald's, they're living out their faith. They're disciples. They've been taught how to live for Jesus in every different setting. We might call that edify, build up. We're to go and make disciples, baptizing them, bringing people to initial faith, and then teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has told us. We could start by reading Matthew's gospel. Just turns out we're looking at Romans this term. But we look at the Bible and we see what Jesus is calling us to do and how we're to live things out. So this is the task of the church. And it's not that complicated. We're to make disciples. We're to help others to follow Jesus Christ. Now you could, and I've done this, you could plot this all out on a little grid. You could say, okay, so as a church, we've got to engage. We've got to get out there and we've got to build relationships. And you could even summarize that into a few little areas. We've got to initially get to know people. We've got to build relationships. We've got to serve our neighbors. And the Bible has a particular heart for the poor. And we're to serve others. And then we're to reach out with the good news. We're not just building friendships, but we're building friendships so that we can help people to follow Jesus. That might involve that with some of our friends, we're just beginning to chat with them about Jesus Christ. And then we're deliberately trying to help them, perhaps with a course like Christianity Explored or something like that, to engage with the good news of Jesus. And then we're asking them, where do you stand? Are you willing to follow Jesus? Or are you still thinking it through? Or you're not ready for that? Maybe, God willing, in the coming years, we'll see many friends and family members come and be baptized and put their trust in Jesus and declare their faith to others. And then edify. And in a sense, these three aren't completely mutually exclusive. The sort of teaching happens all the way through. We're to help people to live out their Christian faith in the different areas of their lives. Maybe some of you at the moment are struggling with how you follow Jesus in your workplace or in your relationships or in how you use your smartphone or whatever it might be. Well, let's think about that as a church so that we can live Christianly in these areas and then keep growing, ongoing growth, and then equipping ourselves to serve one another. So some of the stuff that we do as a church is about helping us to use our gifts to serve others, maybe to run a Bible study or to lead a course or whatever it might be, to learn how to preach or whatever that might be. And that's a good little a little sort of idea. You could make a little grid of all these different things. In fact, on that grid, you could have one column for this is what I'm doing. And maybe you could think, well, as a follower of Jesus, I think God has helped me to help other people to come to know Jesus. So you might be somewhere in that middle column. Or maybe you're really good at building friendships. You've got loads of friends. Well, maybe your strength is in the left-hand column. Or maybe you're really good at teaching other people how to follow Jesus. That's your row. We could think about how as a church, middle row, we're doing that. And actually, I've filled in that row for you. And you can think about what's next for us as a church. I've filled in the middle row for you. Well, it's no secret that I've already made this grid, and it's here for you, and I'd love you to take one on the way out. And if you're here at your life groups on Tuesday and Wednesday, this is what we're going to be looking at, as well as just a little survey, a few questions that you can think through on the front. And that's the sermon outline as well to take. So take one of these on the way out. And then in your groups on Tuesday and Wednesday, why not think through how am I trying to make disciples? How are we as a church trying to make disciples? And then particularly, and this is something that we talked about at our annual church meeting, what are our next steps as a church for reaching out? Some of you are involved with a football group. Some of you, Jamie's got an idea for a men's outreach. Becca's involved with some knocking on doors in the area. As I look around the room, you've all got different gifts. You've all got different friendships. How can we as a church work together in what I've called united gospel entrepreneurship to reach out with the good news? So do come and join us on Tuesday or Wednesday if you're not part of that. And if you can't make that, come to my house on Sunday night and we'll do the same exercise. And if you're brand new, it'd be a good chance for us to get to know one another a little bit better. So, I better not leave that under here or I'll forget them. Where's Nicola? Let me give these to you now, otherwise when we're on the door, we might forget them. Thank you very much. So we've seen two of our alls so far. Jesus' position of all authority and Jesus' program for all nations. But does that sound a bit scary? It does a bit to me. And I sometimes find it a bit scary to think that I'm involved in what's quite, at times, a challenging enterprise. Well, let me encourage you, finally, with Jesus' presence for all time. Let's look at the final verse. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. If ever you have to do something scary in the workplace or in the kitchen or in the garden, if you've got someone else there helping you, it makes all the difference. Maybe I know that some of us here are footballers and some of our children as well. And imagine if you're kicking around a football in the park and Pele or Maradona were to come and say, Charlie, just try a few of these keepy-ups or whatever it might be. Like if one of the greatest footballers of all time came alongside me, then I wouldn't be so scared in learning to do football. Or if I'm a violinist and Yehudi Menuhin, the great violinist, came back from the dead and was right with me and teaching me how to play. You can look him up on YouTube. He's amazing. Teaching me how to play the violin. It wouldn't be so scary. And Jesus has come back from the dead and his spirit is with us as a church. He's with us this morning and he's helping us to do this. If you're not a Christian, that sounds strange. Like we can't see Jesus. He died 2,000 years ago, but he didn't stay dead. And that's the point. He rose from death and he has all authority over Huntingdon and Godmanchester and Abbots Ripton and Great Stookley. And etc. And he's with us and helping us to get out there with Leslie in the hospital or Becca on the door knocking or you in the workplace. And he's helping us, he's with us, and he's giving us the strength to get out there and to make disciples of all nations. Our church tagline, if you've never seen it before, can be summed up like this: we're Christ, Church, Huntingdon. And our vision as a church is to see the wonderful good news of Jesus' rescue, which transforms, unites, and equips a community. That's all of us understanding the growing in the truth and as our discipleship growing. And then prayerfully shared. Mustn't forget prayer, even though it's not in this passage. It is at the bottom of my grid. Prayerfully shared with all in the Huntingdon. That's what we're about as a church. This is how we're trying to put the Great Commission into practice. Exactly what are the next steps? That's over to you. I know what our big picture is. I know that we're building a cathedral, we're building Jesus's kingdom. But which tower to focus on next, which foundation stones to lay, that's up to you. As we, as group, in groups and in conversation, think about where the Lord is leading us next in terms of our outreach. But Jesus is with us. And he's promised to help us as we make disciples here in Huntingdon and further afield. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Bible. We thank you that you haven't left us in this world floundering to know what to do. But that you've given us Jesus' words written down for us accurately and passed on to us faithfully so that we can hear his voice even today in 2019 and we can make him known. So please enable us, Lord, to be faithful as a church in making disciples here in Huntingdon. Please help us to remember your authority. Please help us to remember that Jesus is alive. risen from the dead, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who one day every knee will bow before. Help us to get that reality clear in our minds so that we're motivated to make disciples. Help us to go, to baptize, to teach. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with us in this great activity, that we're not on our own. We pray that you'd help us to talk about these things over coffee, in our groups, in our friendships, to spur one another to think about ways in which we can be involved with this great task. Thank you that you've promised to be with us. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen.